Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
It is back to school, and parents and teachers are getting ready to jump back in the classroom if they haven't already. And I want to talk a little bit about parents' rights, about students' rights, about discipline, homeschooling, and all of those kinds of things that are going on in Illinois. And I know we have some changes in the law that have been proposed. With us to discuss this is attorney Marina D'Ambre. She is of counsel to the Lake County firm of D'Ambre and Vaccari. She's a former prosecutor, has a concentration in this very topic, education law, special education, school discipline and bullying in schools. She even does DCFS and child welfare work. Welcome to the show, Marina. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
So let's talk about homeschooling. I'm shocked to see that homeschooling doubled nationwide between March 2022 and March 2021. I don't know if it was COVID or those types of things. And now homeschooling accounts for about 9% of the country's school-age population. So there, what are the rules about homeschooling, Marina? What do parents have to follow in Illinois to comply with the law if you're homeschooling?
That's a great question. So Illinois has been considered a low regulation state for homeschooling since 1950. And in 1950 was when Illinois Supreme Court ruled in favor of homeschooling rights in the case People versus Levison. In this case, the court found that parents have a constitutional right to direct their children's education under the 14th Amendment, and that homeschools are similar to private schools in many ways. This means that homeschools in Illinois are not required to register with the state and are not subject to testing or curriculum mandate. Now, some people say that this hands-off approach to homeschooling leaves kids at risk. However, there are some people that say that the lack of regulations allows families to use teaching methods that best fit their child and their family.
I guess I'm thinking, and I'm not arguing with you or the law, but why would it harm anyone if you are going to homeschool your children? And I would say that homeschooling, you know, there's a lot of effort involved if you're going to do it right. And my friends who are homeschooling, they are very busy, busier than if their kids went to school. So the idea is, why wouldn't registering them be just the very minimum of what is required? Why do you think that is?
Registering them in the public school, you're saying?
No, just registering with the state, like saying, hey, state, I'm homeschooling my kids. That's why you're not going to see them over at the public school. That there's no requirement for that, or even requirement to say, yeah, my child was taught, at least a curriculum that complies with what you guys think is important. There's no no reporting.
Yeah, it comes down to your ability to do what you want, right? So if you want to teach your kid a certain curriculum, go ahead. It does become an issue, though, if you do want your child to proceed to college, and then you do need to make sure that they have a curriculum that is similar to that of a public school.
So let's just say that you took your kids out of the public schools during COVID, and you've homeschooled them through high school, and now the child wants to go to school and is applying. What kind of advice would you give parents before that happens? You know, what do you do to pave the way to make sure that they're not at a disadvantage when they get into the college arena?
So, like I mentioned earlier, you want to make sure that if you do homeschool your child, that you follow a curriculum that is similar to that of a public school. Or there are even some great online options, too, for online schools that follow a curriculum that is very similar to that. So, that will be put in a good position for that. So if a child is homeschooled and then they do want to be reintroduced into public school, there are a few conditions that must be met. First of all, the request has to be made by May 1st of the previous school year. So if you wanted your kid to be in public school this year, then you have to make sure that you did that by May 1st of last year of the 23-24 school year. And then you, of course, have to make sure there's enough space in the school, and you have to make sure you live within the boundaries of the district. and of the school.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this proposed legislation to tighten up some of the laws when it comes to homeschooling. We're here talking to Marina D'Ambre. She is of counsel to D'Ambre and Vaccari, and they concentrate their practice in school law, and you're listening to WGN. We are talking school law with attorney Marina D'Ambre. She practices in the Lake County firm of D'Ambre and Vaccari. Thanks for holding. Let's talk just briefly. I just want to touch on it. There's new legislation that wants to tighten up these rules about homeschooling. Can you just tell us what the gist of this new proposed law is?
Yeah, of course. So there's a lawmaker in Illinois out of Glen Ellen that has a child welfare committee, which is advocating for increased protections for homeschool children. This may involve stricter regulations and oversight to ensure that these homeschool children receive an appropriate education and that they're safe from abuse and neglect. So at a minimum, this lawmaker believes that Illinois should require parents to notify a school district or other governmental entities that they are choosing to homeschool their child.
It sounds reasonable to me, but we'll see how it passes. And I know that these lobby groups are very strong. Let's switch over to social media. I know that this is an evolving topic everywhere, but in schools, you know, how much can a school regulate what a child does on social media?
Yeah, so that's a really hot topic right now. And social media is just growing substantially each year. There's more platforms each year. So in public schools, students have First Amendment rights, which protect their free speech, and this extends to social media. However, there are exceptions to protect the welfare and well-being of other students and faculty at the school. So speech cannot disrupt the educational environment or infringe upon the right of other students or faculty. And then any speech that disrupts the educational environment, which can include harassment or threats or cyberbullying, is prohibited, and that is addressed within law and both student handbooks as well. So the school is well within its rights to address any kind of speech like this on social media that can arise to the form of harassment or threats or cyberbullying and take action as well.
Even if those communications happen outside the school fence?
Absolutely. So if it disrupts the educational environment, yes.
And that makes sense, because as we know, and this is a topic I'm going to get to in a minute, is just bullying is rampant. And, you know, some of these things that go on, whether they're being the texts are going in school or out of school, it can cause people to, you know, it could cause great harm. And I know we had a case here, a tragic case of a young man who killed himself based upon some of the bullying that was going on in his very affluent school. So let's talk about bullying. About 20% of American students aged 12 to 18 were bullied on school property in the last few years. 16% of 12 to 18 were cyberbullied. This is a serious problem, and I'm sure as a lawyer who does school law, you get these kinds of things. If your child comes home and is upset because something is going on that you deem to be bullying, what should you do as a parent?
Yeah, that's a great question, Karen. And bullying, no matter if it's physical or cyberbullying or in person of any sort, should not be tolerated by any school, whether it's public or private. So first of all, you want to analyze the bullying and what's going on. You want to see if it arises to a level of a threat to your child. So if it does arise to a level of threat to your child, you need to immediately contact law enforcement. And then secondly, what you should do is immediately inform the school principal. And each school, whether it's public or private, should have a set of policies and procedures that they implement in accordance with Illinois law. There's a law called the Bullying Prevention Act on how to handle these bullying claims. And what they should do is launch what's called a bullying investigation. So if you still have concerns after contacting the principal, contact the superintendent. And if you still have concerns after that, contact the local board of education and then the regional board. And if you find that you've exhausted all of these options and your child attends a school that is public and receives federal funding, you can do something that's called filing an Office of Civil Rights complaint if you believe that your child has been discriminated against by the school or by the students in the school based on them being a member of a protected class. So one more thing that you could do if you feel that your child is being harassed is you could file what's called a stalking no contact order. That means that there have been two or more incidents in which your child has been harassed by another child at the school, and they can implement some kind of safety protections via the court for your child.
That's like a order of protection-ish.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. And in your view, Marina, do you see that schools are more receptive to some of these claims? I know that when some of my friends, you know, maybe 15 years ago had issues with bullying, there was the teachers and the administration were not super great, in my opinion, at trying to get it resolved, and that sometimes the kids would go back to school. Now that there was a report, the kids were treated even worse, and it actually made the situation worse. And in some cases, they actually removed the bullied child and said, why don't you go to another school instead of taking the bullier and removing. So do you see that there's a better sensitivity to these issues?
To be completely honest, sometimes I don't. And that's when I get involved and we really make the school district look at the law and analyze the law and abide by the law. So I hope that we see a trend of them showing more compassion with the student who was bullied, and I'll keep fighting until that happens.
I'm sorry to hear that, but it's an honest answer. And, you know, I think it's important to know that. We're talking to Marina D'Ambre. She is a lawyer in the Lake County area who handles cases involving schooling and education. And thank you for joining me again. Let's talk about discipline, Marina. So let's say that, you know, your child is being accused of something and they're looking to suspend him. What are the student's rights before that happens? Is there a right to a hearing? What should you do as a parent?
Yeah, so there is, according to the school code, your student is afforded due process. So what the school code says specifically is upon request of the students or upon their request of the parents or the guardians of school, must conduct a hearing, and it shall review the action of the superintendent or whatever faculty member is handing down that discipline to see if it is within the bounds of the law. So there is a specific portion of the school code that deals with when a student should be suspended or expelled. And in most times, a student is suspended or expelled if they are a threat to the school environment and that their presence causes that threat and disrupts the learning of others. But there is a protection for students to contest this through a hearing, yes.
And how would a parent know what that school code is? What's the name of it, and they can Google it, or a place you know that they could go and find that?
Yeah, you can Google Illinois school code, and it shows up under that.
Okay.
So it's the, yep.
So I understand that there was a law passed mandating full day kindergarten, which I think is a fabulous idea, because there's nothing worse than having a kid in half a day school if you have a full day job, right? This is not, I don't know if it's taken effect altogether, but can you just tell us a little bit about this? Who is affected, and when is it going to take effect?
Yeah, so this law requires each school board starting in the 2027 to 2028 school year to establish a kindergarten program with full attendance in addition to their half-day program. So the half-day program and both the full-day program needs to be developmentally appropriate and provides opportunities for play-based learning. And the logic behind this, Karen, is that the National Education Association has found that children in full-day classes show greater reading and mathematic achievement than those who are in half-day classes. So it's up to the parent, but it will make the option of full-day available. And like you said, making it a lot easier for working parents.
That's great. And we only have 1 minute, and I want to get your contact information. But just quickly, I know you handle DCFS matters, and this is a big topic, but let's say that someone has made a claim against you, whether it's an ex-spouse or somebody. Do you need a lawyer when the investigation occurs? And what point do you need a lawyer?
So you don't need a lawyer at any point of the investigation, but of course it certainly helps. So that were me, I would contact a lawyer if a claim came back as founded and that you want to appeal that decision. That's when I would contact a lawyer.
So during the investigation, you just let that occur, you tell the truth, you cooperate, and then if there's something that is found against you, that is the point in time you hire somebody like Marina. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. I went so fast. I know you're going to come back and we're going to talk about more education issues, but can you tell our listeners where they can contact you if they want to consult with you or if they want to hire you for a school law matter?
Of course. So if you go ahead and Google our website, it's Deon Brings a Carry. We have our office in Libertyville, Illinois. My email is on that website. It's mdeonbry@dblaw.us, and our phone number is on there as well. And we are available for new clients since it's the beginning of the school year. And just go ahead and call if you have a question, you want a consultation, if you need representation, we're here for you.
And I'm going to spell the name Deambre, D-I-A-M-B-R-I. We get a lot of these questions. I know I get a lot of them on air, and I know that this is going to be very helpful to our listeners. Thank you, Marina. Thank you for joining us on this hot summer, at the end of the summer, Sunday, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to speaking with you again.
All right, great.